Welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast with your host, Sean St. Hill. Sean is the CEO of Tech and Main, a technology consulting firm in Atlanta, Georgia. Listen in as thought leaders share their tips and insights about what's going on in the world of technology. And now, here's your host, Sean St. Hill.
Thank you for joining another episode of Tech and Main Presents, where we bring you the best insights from today's leaders and experts in technology. Today, we will be speaking with Brandy Bennett. Brandy is the Director of Customer Success and Emerging Markets at Safety Culture. Brandy, welcome to the Tech and Main Presents podcast.
Sean, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you are welcome. You are welcome. So, Brandy, as we alluded to before we got started, this is all about you. We are going to enjoy ourselves. And so, Brandy, why don't we start out with you having, Brandy, thank you so much for being with us. Like I said, we are going to enjoy our time together. And why don't we start out by you sharing your background with our audience?
Sure. Sure. Thanks, Sean. So I actually grew up on a farm in rural Kansas. So I always joke that you think about like Dorothy and the Yellow Brick Road. It wasn't a yellow brick road. It was a dirt road that took me to my home where I grew up, but it was very, very thankful for that experience and learned the value of hard work. But I actually started my career in finance. So I started working at a bank when I was 16 years old and continued that into college, and then was studying finance and management via a business degree. Graduated from college and thought, okay, they want financial planners, kind of a natural transition. I have no money. I just got out of college. None of my friends have any money. They just got out of college. What else can I be doing? So I was actually being in the banking industry. I got the opportunity to start working at the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City, which is actually how I got my intro into technology. So I was there. I was doing an analyst role, kind of like a consultant, you know, jack of all trades, if you will, but got me the opportunity to work with a product called ImageNow, which later became Perceptive Content. And I was able to go around the Federal Reserve System across the United States and implement this tool for all of the HR departments. And it just, I fell in love with designing solutions and finding a workflow and process for our customers. And so I took a risk in 2010 and left the finance industry where I was very comfortable and said, hey, let's give this technology industry a go, and haven't looked back. And so since then, have really kind of built my career within professional services and customer success roles, working with customer facing teams, and have most recently started looking into some of kind of the emerging markets and what does it mean to take our technology into customers in the Latin America, South America space.
Okay, awesome. So, Brandy, I do have a question for you since you are from Kansas. Wildcats or Jayhawks?
Jayhawks. Okay. I don't know how you feel about that, but growing up on a farm, a lot of K-State fans. My dad graduated from K-State, but I do like the Jayhawks.
Okay, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. There we go. Mm-hmm. Okay, I just had to put that out there.
Yep, it's fair. Fair question.
Yes, I
very
thought so.
Fair question. Yeah,
I thought so. Okay. Well, and so, Brandy, obviously you're doing great things there at Safety Culture. Tell us, what has you most excited about your daily work?
Sure. So I think, obviously, working within customer success, I get the opportunity to work with our customers, and my team works directly with our customers. And it's really helping like customer success. It's literally helping customers and people succeed. And so, I mean, I think one of the things that's so great about the Safety Culture platform is it's all about helping ensure our customers' teams get home safely at night. And so my daughter's almost two, so I'm a newish mom, I'll say. And I had a brother who was an over-the-road truck driver. And so I think that safety and making sure everybody, when they go to work, can get their job done safely and then return home to their families is pretty awesome. And it's really awesome to work with a lot of colleagues who are also very customer-centric and care about making sure our customers are taken care of and getting value from the technology and the relationship they have with Safety Culture.
Okay. Great. Well, Brandy, that's actually a nice setup for this next question. What would you say are the biggest operational challenges facing businesses today?
Yeah, that's a super fair question. And I think One of the big ones that we have seen with some of the customers and people that we work with is labor shortages and staff retention. I think if we the pandemic has really kind of increased that as one of the challenges that we see. Also supply chain issues, right? Having people being able to get access to, if it's a part for a manufacturing plant or if it's something they need to continue a construction project, I think that's another one. And then another one we find is just like visibility to all the data and all the different things happening within the different sites or locations that a company may have.
Okay. And so with that, what are your top operational tips for those same business customers?
Yeah, I think when you think about like the visibility piece, I think a lot of times if you can digitize and really kind of standardize some of the processes that you need to complete in order to get visibility to that data, that is one of those things. So it starts to allow us to kind of really create more predictable, safer, and better quality outcomes. And another thing specifically for like the type of customers and industries that we work with is empowering those frontline workers. So if that's that construction worker on a construction site, if that's somebody working in a retail space, empower those frontline workers to kind of lead the process and lead the charge in completing those daily tasks, because they're the ones that are closest to it. They're the ones doing it every day, and they know the challenges that it comes to addressing those operational challenges that they see.
Okay. Well, Brandy, you mentioned construction and retail. Are there some favorite verticals or some particular industries that safety culture probably enjoys working with or kind of resonates with the most?
Yeah. So one of the things that's really great about our safety culture platform is we are really industry agnostic. Oh. So we can really kind of span across a lot of different industries. That said, a lot of times where we have seen the most use of our product is in the construction industry. So like on a job site, like I mentioned, a retail store. I see a lot of time spent within and use in hospitality and restaurants and manufacturing is another one. Those are kind of our big ones. I think like the energy and utilities industry is also another one. But yeah, kind of. I think what's so great about our platform is it's a pretty easy to use platform that anybody can pick up. It's mobile first. And so you could download it right now if you wanted to. You go to the App Store or the Play Store and download it and set it up and start using it for checklists in your daily tasks.
Okay. Awesome. And Brandy, I want to give you a chance to kind of brag on your team a little bit. So, I mean, as the director of customer success in emerging markets, tell us a little bit about the folks that you work with on a daily basis.
Yeah, so I could probably go on and on about the fantastic team that I work with. But I think one of the things that's so great about our team is that they care about the customer. And they are always wanting to make sure that whether it's a new product feature or they're a new customer that's maybe newer to technology, newer to using a mobile device to complete their work, the team just does such a fantastic job really being patient and giving time to the customer to ensure that they are set up for success and are able to do what they need to do and don't get overwhelmed by a new piece of technology and a new change in their process, right? Because a lot of our customers are potentially just coming from a paper process. And so then moving to an electronic or a digital process can be a little overwhelming. And so it's always really interesting when I get the opportunity to shadow and watch the team in action, just how patient and thoughtful they are in those conversations to make sure the customer is successful.
Okay. And that sets up this thing that I wanted to ask you. You mentioned your team and shadowing the team as they are helping your clients implement this new technology. How exactly do you get people and their staff to adopt these new processes and technology?
Great. Another great question. Yeah, I think a lot of it is spending some time kind of talking through the why. Like, why are we coming? Why has somebody recommended the safety culture platform for this process that maybe has previously been done via another application or has done via paper? And so kind of helping our onboarding team does a really nice job kind of helping through the change curve or the change management of that new technology and really articulating why it's important for them. And so I think that has been one of the things that is making it easier to adopt. I think I might have mentioned earlier, like, it's a very user-friendly application. And so I think it's not a heavy lift where you have to click here to click there and then click in this other place. Like, it's pretty intuitive when it comes to the user experience. And so I think that's another reason why it's easier for people to adopt it, because everybody's used to their mobile device and interacting with it. And so it's just kind of understanding, okay, within the platform, how do I navigate for this process or that process that I'm now completing digitally?
Okay, great. And so in our world, Brandy, we know and understand the importance of the Internet of Things, right? There at Safety Culture, I mean, that's a big part of your offering and what you help folks with. How can the Internet of Things improve businesses?
Yeah, so I think when I think about the Internet of Things, it's one of those things that we know one of the ways to improve your operations is if everything is connected, right? So I talked a little bit earlier about the visibility to things. So that can be your people, your tools, your technology, the kind of the environment in which you're working. And so when we think about like IoT and what that means for us, I think it's also kind of nice to illustrate that via an example. So one of the parts of our tool that we see get leveraged in this space a lot is sensors. And so previously, a food company or food manufacturing company may have someone whose job is to just slowly go around and every single hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, whatever increment they determine is to check the temperature in that freezer to make sure it's at the right level to ensure that whatever food is in there hasn't spoiled or hasn't gone bad. Well, with the addition of sensors, we now have the ability to automate that process. And so if said freezer gets below or above a certain temperature that's kind of outside of the range of what's appropriate for that specific freezer or process, then it'll send a notification. And so what's great about that is we got that notification, we're getting the visibility that we need, but also more importantly for the person that whose job was previously to go around and check this freezer and then that freezer every few hours, that's freed them up to go on to more valuable tasks and do other things that are more valuable and beneficial for the business.
Okay. It's interesting. One, I'm a tech nerd, right? And I mean, I'm just saying it is what it is. I love technology and I love talking to folks about technology and what it's doing to make a difference in industry and in the lives of folks. And I was speaking with a friend yesterday, and he deals with technology in the logistics industry, right? And I think there's something along the lines of 110,000 new drivers that are needed. And I'm not sure what the space of time is for that need, but there's that solid number of 110,000. And he was talking about how the technology that he's working with will help not completely eliminate the need for those drivers, but it will help reduce the friction or reduce what businesses are having to deal with. And that technology is going to help with that. All of that said, Brandy, everything that I'm hearing you talk about, right, ease of use of the platform, benefits to the customer, it's like it goes beyond just the visible, right? Just the, hey, we no longer have to do this process manually anymore. We no longer have to send someone into the freezer. It's also, those folks get to go home a little sooner, right? Those managers are able to pull reports and track things. It's the intangibles. And that's what I'm hearing from you is Safety Culture, your platform. It's allowing folks to do, and I don't want to sound corny, but it's allowing them to live better lives is really what I'm hearing. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think it sounds corny at all. And I think you're right. I think it is definitely one of those things where it is helping. I mean, getting home safely at night, like I mentioned earlier, is definitely part of it. But just some of those tasks and I think the visibility piece too, like we've got customers who the managers would have to travel all over, be it a region or get on a plane every single week. And I've done the travel bit. I've been the road warrior, and that's fun for a while, but then that gets exhausting. And I think our technology being able to, okay, I'm doing a check on a construction site, we'll say in Omaha, Nebraska, which is 3 hours from Kansas City. And that's immediately fed back into the head office in Kansas City. I don't have to spend the time driving. And then I can catch my daughter's soccer game or son's swim meet or whatever. It's just like that. I think that there's a really nice translation to that that makes just the everyday life a bit better for the people doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. And I'm yeah. sure you good folks there at Safety Culture and your customers, they appreciate that as well. All right. So Brandy, let's do this. Let's pivot into some questions that are specific to you. And so the first of which would be, name your favorite musician or band.
Okay. Well, I have I kind of like all kinds of music, but every time I've been asked this question in the past, it's always been Elton John. I my dad was an Elton John fan, and he turned me on to his music early on. And I got to take my dad to an Elton John concert several years ago before he passed away. And so I have that special memory of that with him. And I actually walked into Tiny Dancer, which is my favorite song of all time, when I married my husband 9 years ago, which was kind of a fun nod to my dad.
Oh,
and
that is so
obviously
cool.
Elton John. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that. That is a very sweet story. And a wonderful favorite. So I'll just say this. Elton John was a favorite of my dad's as well. And so, yeah, my father had a very wide-ranging music palette. And, I mean, you would hear Elton John, you would hear Motown, you'd hear a little country music in there. Yes, folks, I did say country. He was just that kind of dude. And, yeah, and I definitely appreciate my dad for introducing me to just a variety of music tastes. And so, yeah, Elton John was sprinkled in there as well.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, good stuff. Okay, so Brandy, how about a favorite hobby or pastime?
So I'm a very big reader. So I'm always, and I try to like read a variety of things. And so I think the benefit of the internet and Instagram and all of that, I follow a lady who will recommend books via like a book, virtual book club. So I pick up a few more things or get exposure to maybe a book that I wouldn't have otherwise thought of and just kind of my traditional, genre of books. And you know, I used to have a goal of reading the number of books that align to the however old I was, but that got a little harder every year because I get a little older every year. So I've since evolved the goal to 2 books a month. I'm way over 24 if you do the math. However, it seems a little bit more manageable than that goal worked for a while, but Sean, it got a little more challenging as the years have gone on. We'll just say that.
Okay. Okay. I like that. All right. So let me ask this. Do you prefer physical books, a Kindle, or Audible or Scribd?
So I have tried, I've done the audiobooks, and I do have a Kindle, but I just, there's some satisfaction with holding a book and seeing the progress that you're making through the book. And it's like, okay, I know how far I need to get to read just one more chapter before bed or whatever. So it's a book all the way. And so I've had to actually take advantage of the library, which is a fantastic system, versus continuing to buy books. So I've committed to my husband that I will use my library card versus buying a bunch of books. But I need the hard copy book.
Okay. Brandy, so yeah, it's funny. So I love books myself, and I go between all three form factors, either the physical, an audiobook, or doing it on Kindle. And it's funny. One of the things that I've said in the past is your library card can and should be one of your best friends, right? When you think about, it's always amazing to me when I hear, and I'm going to go on a slight rant, forgive me. It's always interesting to me when I hear people in the public space, athletes, business figures, whoever, right? And they're like, or someone asks, hey, what was the last book you read? Or when was the last time you picked up a good book? And they're like, yeah, I don't read. And I'm like, oh my goodness, why not? You don't have the time? You like, what place are you in life where a good book couldn't somehow enhance who you are? And so, I'm just a big believer that, yeah, your public library card, which is free and readily available, right, is and should be one of your best friends. I mean, it's like a passport, right? And I know not everyone gets a chance to travel, but your library card gives you that chance to travel. I mean, never been to Czechoslovakia, but guess what? I can find out what's popping in Czechoslovakia and what the culture's like and what do people like to eat. And I mean, whatever you want to know is available through a book. So,
yeah.
Thumbs up to you, Brandy Bennett.
Hey, awesome. I am glad that you think that too. Yeah, I'll tell you, it has been, prior to having my daughter, I was just like, we're not gonna get crazy on toys. But we have all kinds of books, and I think she almost sometimes enjoys looking at the books and kind of interacting with her books more than she does some of her toys, which I hope continues. I mean, she's not even two, so she can't read yet, but I'm hoping to continue to kind of instill that love of books and just the possibilities that can give you and kind of open your eyes to so much more of the world, like you said, just via books, as she gets older too.
Yeah. Oh, that's good stuff, Brandy. That is good stuff. All right. How about a favorite place to visit on vacation?
So I'm a big, big vacation fan. I try to use all my PTO every single year, but prior to the pandemic, I would say anywhere on a cruise ship. So my husband and I started cruising when we were still dating, and I just fell in love with the fact that it was a moving hotel. It's a city on the water, right? You have all the amenities of the hotel, fantastic food, you know, live music, entertainment, and then you wake up in a new destination every day. So that's kind of been the go-to, mostly in the Caribbean. We're getting to a point where we had hit all the Caribbean islands. And so we were starting to like open our horizons to going to Europe or maybe do an Alaskan cruise. And then the pandemic hit and then we had a child. So all that's been paused, but hopefully we will be able to get back on a cruise ship soon. So not the same as a cruise ship, but the interim solution is spending time out on our pontoon boat on a lake kind of close to where we live. So lake, not the same as an ocean, but it's still water. It's still out in the beautiful weather. So can't complain too much.
No, I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Love the picture you painted there. So, we'll leave that untouched. And so Brandy, let me ask this question. What teacher at any level has had the greatest impact on you?
I don't know that I could actually say one specific person has had an impact, one specific teacher has had an impact on my life. I think as I kind of look back at grade school through high school, college, all of the schooling that I've done, I think different teachers in different parts of my life have had an impact for a variety of reasons. So I've always kind of tried to take the approach that I likely could learn something from any of them, be it the economics teacher where I'm just struggling my way through economics and how I'm going to get through that, to someone who is opening my eyes to a psychology class. So I think it's really, I just try to be able to learn from anybody and any teacher. So I don't know that I honestly could pick one person that really, really stands out to me.
Okay. And that's a fair answer. That is a fair answer. I asked that question. Well, that's one of my favorite questions, one of my go-to questions. And I asked it recently of a gentleman, actually earlier this week. So his episode hasn't even come out or been edited yet. But his response was very unique, where he's like, I did not have the greatest primary and secondary school education experience, right? Like it sounded like it was actually pretty traumatic. And so he did not have a teacher in mind. He spoke more of mentors, right? Kind of folks that came along later in life. He's on his third business now, Right? And so he spoke to some of the folks that kind of helped get him to the point that he's at today. So, yeah, no, I totally respect that answer. And, yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. All right, Brandy, we've come to the last question. And this question has us getting in the time machine. And we are going to go back to 18-year-old Brandy Bennett. What is the Brandy of today going to tell her 18-year-old self?
You know, I think I would probably tell 18-year-old Brandy Bennett to just enjoy the journey. Don't try to rush it. Because I think back to when I was 18, I think I probably thought I had it all figured out. And I knew exactly where I was going to go. And this was my path. And then life happened. And then it was like, okay, life path's going to be a little bit different. And to not rush through it. Like life goes, like we joke here at Safety Culture, there's like time and then there's like safety culture time because it just goes so, so fast. And now being a mom, like if that feels like it's flying by too. And so I think it would just be, just don't rush it. Stop. Enjoy. Enjoy every single minute because it all goes by way, way too fast. And then next thing you blink and you're not 18 anymore. And so that would probably be what I'd say.
Oh man, Brandy, you've got me all in my feels. There's that song. I hear it. It's like super falsetto. It's like, da, 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 for a moment. Da, da. It's like, and it's like, it catalogs all the ages, like in the song. And it's so true. Like I remember as a teenager, I wanted to be an adult, right? And then when I became an adult, I wanted to be married. And then it's like you hit all these stages and milestones. And before you look up and your kid's in high school and driving and you're like, holy shnikes, when did that happen? Right? And so that's, yeah. Yeah, I would totally tell Brandy, I tell 18-year-old Sean the same thing. Yeah, just slow down, young man. Just enjoy the journey because, yeah, 18 becomes 30 and 30 becomes the next set of years way too quickly. So, I like that advice. Man, Brandy, you are an amazing guest. I have thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you and to hear about Safety Culture and then the personal tidbits that you shared. Thank you so much for honoring us with your time today.
Oh, well, Sean, thank you so much for the kind words and thank you so much for having me. I've also really enjoyed our conversation today.
Awesome. Well, Brandy, before we let you go, what is the best way for people to get in contact with you?
Sure. So definitely you can find me on LinkedIn. I don't think there's too many Brandy Bennett's out there. So hopefully you can pretty easily find me out on LinkedIn. And if you have any interest in our platform and taking a peek at that, it's also available within the app and Play Store under Safety Culture.
Okay, awesome. And we'll be sure to put that information in the show notes. But again, Brandy, thank you so much for joining us. And Techame Presents family, thank you as always for listening. And be sure to tune in next time when we will have another expert share their wisdom. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to another episode of Tech and Main Presents. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Don't forget to tell your friends, and thanks for being a part of the Tech and Main Presents community.